If you have your Bibles with you this morning, why don't you turn with me to the book of Luke? Luke chapter 19 is where we're going to be. Luke chapter 19. For 6 weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to follow Jesus along the road to the cross. During that time, we're going to see Jesus do miraculous things. I mean, if you think last week, we saw Jesus speak and a blind man named Bartimaeus was able to see. Along the journey to the cross, we're going to see Jesus show grace to undeserving people. Today, we're going to look at the encounter that Jesus had on the road with a man named Zacchaeus. And thinking about Zacchaeus, I first of all want to just stop and give a little disclaimer here. I don't type very well. I'm one of these folks, I type with two fingers. So in my notes, every time I put Zacchaeus, I put Zach. So if I mess up and just call him Zach, you know that's because I have that in my notes. But when you think about Zacchaeus, where did many of you come to know Zacchaeus? Where did you first hear his story? In a little song, when you were a kid, and maybe in Sunday school or in children's church, you learned this little song written by Elsie Leslie about Zacchaeus. So, I'll tell you what, if you know it, sing it along with me. If you know the motions, the kids are all going, they don't care. Go ahead and do the motions with me as well. You ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Some of y'all pretended you didn't know that song. I saw your lips moving, but you weren't doing motions. But many of us, we remember that song. And that's how we became to know Zacchaeus through that little kid's song and getting to know him there. But you know what? We could sing the song again and again till we all know the story of Zacchaeus. But I'd rather us do something else. Why don't we go to God's Word and let's read the story of Zacchaeus. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. We're going to start with that first verse. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, for as so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. As we look at this story, Jesus is entering into Jericho. And as he does, he's on his way to the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem. But he comes upon this man named Zacchaeus. Now, the Bible tells us he was a chief publican, or some of your translations will say he was the chief tax collector. He was also very wealthy. But there's a reason for that. Most tax collectors, and probably Zacchaeus was no exception, most tax collectors in Jesus' day were crooks. You could kind of say the same today, couldn't you? But these guys were crooks because here's what they did. They were assigned the duty of collecting taxes. Now, some will tell you it was Roman taxes. Others will tell you it was temple taxes. We really don't know which he collected, but he's collecting taxes. And what they would say is, okay, Zacchaeus, you're going to collect taxes from these people. Here's how much we want. Here's how much you have to collect from them to give to us. Anything else, that's where your pay comes from.
So it was kind of like any kind of markup. You buy a product, you sell it at your store, you mark it up a little bit so you can make a pay, get a salary. So he was allowed to mark up the taxes a little bit so that he could have something. But here's what probably happened, and here's what happened to most of the tax collectors. They'd start collecting, and let's say your tax was $10. So Zacchaeus would say, okay, you need to pay me $12 per person for your taxes. That way he can make two. Well, you had to pay your taxes, so you paid your $12, not knowing how much Zacchaeus got. But Zacchaeus is going, okay, I got $2. Well, then after a little while, he goes, you know, that was pretty easy. So the next time you come to pay your taxes, you know what, taxes went up. This time they're 14. This time they're 20. This time they're 30. And you had to pay your taxes, so the folks was paying. And Zacchaeus is probably getting very wealthy because most of the tax collectors were crooked. And that's how they would make their salary. And it says he was the chief of the tax collectors. He was also very rich. So as people would come, well, this tax collector, he wanted to see Jesus. But the Bible says he was short of stature, and he couldn't see because of the crowd. So he goes and he climbs up in a sycamore fig tree. Now, don't confuse that with the sycamore trees we have around here. Totally different tree. But he climbs up in this tree because he knew Jesus was coming that way. And as he did, Jesus comes, and when Jesus gets to the tree, he stops. And he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, because today I'm going to stay at your house. And says Zacchaeus, come down, and he welcomed him into his house. But you know what happens? Every time somebody's obedient to Jesus, there's always going to be those who mutter, don't there? And no exception, all these folks started muttering, you know, well, look at him. That Jesus is going, he's staying at the house of a sinner. Does he not know who? Jesus knew exactly who Zacchaeus was. But he went and stayed at his house. And Zacchaeus says, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And everybody I've cheated, I'm going to pay them back four times as much as I took from them. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to your house because you too now are a son of Abraham. The Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and save those who are lost. This morning, as we go with Jesus on the road to the cross, I want us to stop and I want us to look at the two main characters of this story. I want us to take a closer look. And let's start with the character of Zacchaeus. As we look at Zacchaeus, we can think a lot of things. I've told you he's a tax collector, a publican, the Bible says. He's wealthy. But I want you to know, Zacchaeus is just a normal guy. When we look at Zacchaeus, we can relate to him a whole lot more than what we think. Yeah, I know you're going, Pastor, I'm not a crook. Pastor, I'm definitely not wealthy. But really, we can relate to Zacchaeus in a lot of ways. Because Zacchaeus represents every person who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The thing is, Zacchaeus didn't even know he was lost. But compared to other people in the world, he was just a normal guy. So when we look at it, Zacchaeus was just normal. He was just a man without Jesus. And you know, we've all been there. Maybe today there's folks that they're still here. There's somebody and they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you know what Zacchaeus' primary concern was? Zacchaeus. His primary thing, the thing he focused on the most was himself. Doesn't it sound like humans today? So if you think about it, we can relate an awful lot. Just like you and I, before we met Jesus, you know what our top concern was? Us. So when we look at it, we're a lot like Zacchaeus. But let me take a moment. I want to show you a couple ways that each of us can relate to Zacchaeus. First way, none of us really measures up. I mean, if you think about it, none of us really measures up. Now, I like how the story goes. It says Zacchaeus was a vertically challenged man. Since we have to watch our germs, we'll also be politically correct. We'll say he was vertically challenged. The King James says he was short in stature. I like the song. He was a wee little man. And I noticed that there was a few of you who did motions, and you did them the same way I did. How tall was Zacchaeus in your sight? You know, we don't know if he was 5 foot two short. We don't know if he was 4 foot two short. We don't know if he was 3 foot even short. But in our song, he was this tall, wasn't he? We're all going, and each time he was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. You know, because we make him even shorter. But the Bible says, you know, about his stature, he didn't measure up. But you know, when you stop and think about it, the Bible tells us, compared to God's standard, not a one of us measures up. Matter of fact, Romans 3:23 says, we all sin and fall short. There's that word again. Fall short of the glory of God. So if we were to look at God's standard, and I'm only going this way because I can't reach to God's standard. But if this is God's standard, no matter where I am, I don't measure up. Every one of us falls short. We don't measure up to God's standard. So when we look at Zacchaeus, we can really relate because we're going to fall short. You know, one of my favorite things that I do each year, usually the first Sunday of the year. Y'all remember my board that I bring out for the kids? I got kids that they've been marking for years on that board. And it's fun to see how they grow. And it's fun watching the parents come and see how their child has grown and measure them. But you know, this year when I brought the board out, I noticed a couple things. Now, we brought the board out, and we had it stand over here in the corner. Well, Luke goes to the board, and Luke backs up to the board, and he goes, Dad, can I write on the wall? He done outgrew the board. But if you think about it, there was another of our teenagers who stood up next to the board and was tickled to death because she'd actually grown. So when we look at it, we look at that, and it's fun to see, but it's fun to see how we grow. But you know, we might look at that board, we might say, okay, here's this person now, and they'll say, one day I'm going to be as tall as this one. One day, they might pick some of our older teens that are on that board, and they'll say, you know, one day I'm going to be as big as Russell. One day I'm going to be as big as Kevin. And they can get there. But if we were able to measure God, there's no way that any of us can ever get to where God is. There's no way that we could do that because we don't measure up. The thing is, all of us fall short. Just like Zacchaeus, we don't measure up to where God is. But there's another way that I see that we can relate to Zacchaeus. And that's the fact that every one of us is desperately seeking something. If you think about it, Zacchaeus was rich. Now, there's a lot of folks today that say if they were rich, they'd be happy. If I just had more money, then I could have more things, and then I'd be happy. But truthfully, you know what happens when we get more money? We want more. We're never satisfied. We always want more. So his riches wasn't what was going to help him to feel like he was fulfilled in life. Or maybe it was his position. Because I find folks today that they think, if I just had this position, if I was just the boss, the supervisor, the president, you know, we could pick a position. If I was just that, I'd be filled with life. But you know what happens when we get that? We want something else. We want something bigger. We want to go on to brighter things, bigger things, better things, whatever it is. Just like Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was desperately seeking something. He might have had a position. He might have had authority. He might have had money. But he was a desperate man who was seeking, and he was seeking something else. He knew there was something missing in his life. Something that his position, something that his authority, something that his wealth wouldn't fill. Now, I'm going to guess Zacchaeus probably didn't know what he was missing. He probably didn't know what was missing in his life. But he'd heard that this Jesus was coming to town. And he'd heard a lot of things about Jesus. And he thought maybe Jesus can tell me what's missing in my life. Maybe he could, he knew he was seeking. So he sought Jesus to find the answer. You ever go to the mailbox and get out this envelope and it says, you have won. Publisher Clearinghouse. And you've gotten those letters. We've all gotten those letters. And you know, here's the thing. They make it sound so personal. You know, Dan Howard, you are one of the finalists eligible to win millions of dollars. And it'll have your name there. And the last one I got, I looked at it and it said, you know, Dan Howard, you are eligible to win, I think it was $14 million. You are one of 8 finalists. Well, I know and you know, they have a computer generate those things. And all that personalization, that was just done with a computer. Everybody got one that said their name on it, and they were one of 8 finalists, and they was going to, well, they're trying to get you to renew magazine subscriptions, and, you know, well, if I don't renew my subscription to whatever, then I won't win. I've heard of folks sitting, waiting, because on this date, at this time, they were supposed to announce the winner. Well, I had a person one time, they told me this is a true story. They said they were watching the television because they had entered the Publisher's Clearinghouse, and they'd been down on their luck, and times was tough. And they said they'd entered that, and they were watching. And on the TV, it said, they are going to the house now. And the person said, immediately as they said that, there was a set of car lights that turned into their driveway. And this person got all excited. They're yelling and screaming and hollering for their husband. And, you know, and they went to somebody else's house. And it wasn't even Publisher's Clearinghouse. But we look at that, and we think, we're the ones that's going to win. Because it's so personal. I read a funny story about the Publisher's Clearinghouse that happened a few years ago. That computer-generated personal letter sent a letter to the Bushnell Assembly of God Church near Tampa, Florida. And this is what the letter said. The church got a letter that said, "Dear God of Bushnell Assembly, God, we've been looking for you. You are our finalist to receive $11 million in sweepstakes. Don't just sit there, God. Return your sweepstakes today." A TV interviewed the pastor. The pastor says, "I didn't send it in. I didn't think God even needed the $11 million. But you know, it made it sound so personal. But you know, there's one line in that letter that makes a lot of sense. God, we've been looking for you. You know what? That's all of us. There's a time we're seeking. God, we've been looking for you. You know, in each of our lives, there's that something missing. There's that something, and you know, we try to fill it. You know, and if you don't go into a church circle, but ask folks, you know, what are you seeking in life? What are they going to tell you? I'm seeking happiness. I'm seeking contentment. I'm seeking purpose. Because everybody is seeking something. You know, and here's what we do. We know we're seeking something, so we try to find it. So we look for it in things like money. If I could make more money. Or we look for it in human relationships. If I could just be friends with Roxy, then I'll be somebody. And we start, everybody's already coming, I'm already there. But we start thinking, you know, we look for that, what's missing, we start looking for it in things like that. We look for it in the relationships. We look for it in the money. We look for it in a career. If I could just get to this place. And then we find folks, you know, maybe they get there or maybe they don't, but they realize there's still something missing. So then we see so many folks turn into so many different things. So many folks, they start experimenting with alcohol, drugs, these things that'll get you that little bit of a high, that little bit of a quick fix, because they're seeking something and they're trying to find the answer. But you know, the truth is, every one of those things still leaves us in brokenness. But we all are seeking. Zacchaeus was a man who didn't quite measure up. And he was a man who was seeking something just like you and me. But I want us to look at another character in the story. Because there's another more important character. And his name is Jesus. And in the story, we're going to see Jesus as a loving Savior. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows why he's going to Jerusalem. The Bible says he turned his face toward Jerusalem. He knows why he's going. He's going there to die. He's going to die for the sins of the world. He's going to Jerusalem where he's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. But on his way to Jerusalem, he makes a stop at Jericho. On his way to the cross, he stops at Jericho, and there's a couple guys that he seeks out there. One of them was a blind man named Bartimaeus. The other was a tax collector named Zacchaeus. Why? Why did Jesus seek them? Because they were seeking Him. He sought those out because they were looking for Him. And you know what? He's seeking us today. The way that Jesus related to Zacchaeus. I had Zach in my notes. The way that Jesus related to Zacchaeus is the same way He wants to relate to you and me. So I want to give you three ways that Jesus relates to us. Number one, He knows us. He knows us. What's the first word that we see that Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus? His name. Jesus said to him, this day, Zacchaeus, we sing the song, Zacchaeus, you come down. Jesus called his name. You know, Zacchaeus is probably, as a tax collector, he's been probably called many names in his life, most of which we're not going to repeat in church. But Jesus knew who he was. My name is Zacchaeus. You know, I did the thing with the kids this morning with the name tags because sometime back there was this guy named Scott, and I never did find his last name. But his name was Scott. He was interviewed on several news shows. And every day, Scott would take one of these little tags. Hello, my name is, only his would say Scott. And wherever he went, no matter what he was doing, he wore this tag that said, hello, my name is Scott. So as they interviewed him, they asked him, why do you do that? And here's what he said. He said, I've noticed when I'm wearing that name tag, people are friendlier to me. He said, people treat me better. And he says, what I want to do is I want to start a trend. He actually had written a book suggesting that everybody wear a name tag like this. And it was, he said, because people will treat you better. I worked for a company one time and it was a big chain company and we were just little people in our little shop. But the big bosses out in California decided we needed to have a promotional campaign. And they called it Happiness is Being Friendly. So they gave us little yellow circular smiley face buttons that we were to wear. Bright yellow, and they said Happiness is Being Friendly. And if we didn't have it on our uniform, we would get sent home for the day. If 2 days we didn't have it on our uniform, they'd fire us. It was that important to us. Now, can you imagine how I felt wearing a yellow smile, looked like a Walmart sticker, that said, happiness is being friendly. So here I am, a 19-year-old guy with this yellow smiley face on. I felt like a fool. I felt like everybody's laughing at me. But you know, think about the customer. Because all of a sudden, you pull into a garage, and here comes this big old glute of a guy out at you. And the first thing you notice is this yellow smiley face that says, happiness is being friendly. What are you going to do? You are going to laugh. It worked for them, but it sure didn't work for me. This guy says, hello, my name is Scott. Because he says people are friendlier. But you know, I want you to know something this morning. You don't need a name tag for God. Because Jesus already knows your name. Isaiah 43:1 says, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You may think that you're alone in this world. You may think that nobody knows who you are. You may think that nobody cares. But I want you to know something. There's a Jesus Christ. There's a loving Savior who knows your name. So what do we see about Jesus? How did He relate to Zacchaeus? He knows him. The second thing, He knows what you need. Jesus knows exactly what we need. He knows everything about us. He knows we need a relationship. That's what Jesus seeks from us. Jesus called him by name. He beckons Zacchaeus to come down, and he says, I'm going to your house. Now, you think about it. I noticed y'all did this too in the song. You got to the part where Jesus looked up in the tree, and then y'all was going like, well, four of you were going like this. And then we went, Zacchaeus, you come, like an old school teacher. You come down. But you know, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did it in a loving way. Zacchaeus, make haste. Just hurry up. I'm going to go stay at your house. You know what Jesus wanted? Jesus wanted a relationship. Jesus didn't go up to Zacchaeus up in the tree. You know, Zacchaeus wanted position. He wanted to be able to see Jesus. Jesus didn't come up and look up in the tree and go, "Well, there you are, you worthless sinner. You need to get down from that tree and get down on your knees. Repent. Repent right here, boy. Repent." Jesus didn't do that. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to stay at your house." You know what we need? You know what the biggest need that we have in our lives? Relationship with Jesus. That's what he needed. Jesus knew exactly what he needed. You know, can you imagine, you remember those folks who murmured? It says when Jesus went to his house and they're going, you know, Jesus is going to the house of a sinner. Can you imagine before that? Jesus comes and Zacchaeus is up in the tree and he stops and looks up. I can just picture some of these folks. He's going to get what he deserves now. Here it comes. Let him have it, Jesus. I can picture that, but Jesus didn't. Because he knew what Zacchaeus needed. Zacchaeus needed a relationship. He wanted, "Zacchaeus, let's go to your house." You know what happened when he went to his house? Jesus didn't go to Zacchaeus' house and preach a 3-point sermon on sinners. He didn't preach on somebody making more than they should. He didn't walk into Zacchaeus' house and go, "Zacchaeus, let the demon of greed come out of you." He ate. He went and had a meal. You know, here's my thought. There's many times in our lives we know we're doing something wrong. There's times we're doing things and we know Christ don't like it. And you know, as my pastor, it's not my job to start to come up and go, "Oh, sinner, sinner, sinner." My job is to introduce you to the one who wants a relationship. And that's Jesus. Did Zacchaeus need some changing? Yeah, he did. And in the story, we see how he was changed in a great way. But Jesus knew he needed the relationship. He knows us. He knows what we need. And let me show you the third way Jesus related to Zacchaeus. Jesus doesn't see us as we are, but he sees what we can become. He doesn't see us as we are. He sees who we can become. Does anybody know what the name Zacchaeus means? Zacchaeus means pure. The name Zacchaeus means pure. So when Jesus looked up in that tree, he didn't just see a sinful, greedy, wealthy tax collector. He saw a man who could become pure. He saw a man that would become so generous, he's going to give half of his money away. Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to get his life straightened and then he'd go to his house. Jesus didn't say, "Zacchaeus, you do this and this and this and then you and I can be friends." But you know, often we think that's what Jesus wants. We think he wants us to get our life straightened out. Then we can go to Jesus. But you know what Jesus wants? He wants to be a relationship. He sees us for who we can become, not just who we are. He wants that relationship. So he's willing to invite us into a relationship with him just as we are. When Zacchaeus came down out of the tree, you know what he was? He was a greedy tax collector. When Jesus went to his house, you know what he was? A greedy tax collector. But Jesus wanted a relationship. And through that relationship, Jesus was able to change him to what he could become. That's what Jesus wants from us. We've wore the saying out almost, but Jesus says, "I want you just as you are to come to a relationship with me. And through that relationship, I'll help you change." That's what he did to Zacchaeus. Jesus knows who he wants you to become. He knows who you could be. But today, He wants to just start with a relationship. You know, I firmly believe there's two kind of people here today. If we were to sum up everybody in this place, I can put you in two categories. Number one, there's Zacchaeuses in this room. Now, I don't know who you are, but God does. There are folks just like Zacchaeus. You're seeking. You don't measure up. And then everybody else, you're former Zacchaeuses. So we're either Zacchaeuses or we're former Zacchaeuses. But you know, maybe you're here today and you realize there's something missing in your life. You're here and you've tried to fill it. You're even trying to fill it by coming to church. If I just go to church, if I just read my Bible, if I just pray, if I just do good deeds, if I say good things about the preacher, then things will go good. You're seeking. Or maybe you're here and you've been seeking elsewhere. But you know you're seeking something. I want to tell you, the answer's Jesus. You know what Jesus wants from you? A relationship. He wants to enter into a relationship with you. He's ready for it. Because he says if you'll come into a relationship with him, then he'll begin to change you. So maybe today for you, your prayer needs to be, Jesus, come to my house. Jesus, I invite you to my house. Here I am. I know I'm a sinner. I could spend the rest of the day listing my sins. But Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Would you come to my house? Maybe you're here today and you've already got that relationship. You know for certain that there's a time in your life that you began a relationship with Jesus. And here's what probably happened. When I started talking about Zacchaeus, and you knew we were talking about it, and you remember, oh, that's a nice little children's story. It's talking about Jesus saving lost people, but he's already done that for me. So you could just flip that switch off. And you could say, I don't need this. He's already saved me. And maybe you thought the message wouldn't apply to you. But I want to tell you something. We've looked at the role of Zacchaeus. We've looked at the role of Jesus. But I want you to know, there's a role in this story that I think for the believer as well. We saw how a seeking man was sought out by a Savior who entered into a relationship with him. And this morning, if that's you, invite Jesus to your house. But maybe this morning you're here. I want you to look at the story of Zacchaeus again because you're thinking, I've already got that relationship. When Zacchaeus came to Jesus, what did he have to do to see Jesus? He had to climb up in a tree. You know what Jesus needs now? More trees. He needs more folks, born again believers, who are willing to help others see Jesus. Jesus needs folks. He needs Christians who are going to help other people see Jesus. I'm going to guarantee you, every person here, a couple of weeks ago you wrote down names of folks that you know, that as far as you know, they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I challenge you to pray for those people. And I challenge you to invite them to church. And maybe you've already started, you're inviting them, hey, will you join me Easter Sunday? Folks is looking to come to church at Easter anyway. Will you join me Easter Sunday? You know what you need to be? You need to be the tree. The tree that's going to point them to Jesus. So I want us to look at something this morning. As we get ready to leave, here's what I want you to take home. You're going to fill in one of these two sentences. Some of you are going to say, I want a relationship with Jesus. And maybe while we sing this final hymn, that's going to be your time to say, Jesus, come to my house. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve you being there, but I invite you to come to my house. Come and let's have a relationship so that as we grow closer, you can change me to be what you want me to be. I want a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe today you have that relationship. Then you need to say, I want to be a tree to help others see Jesus. And maybe under that, if you write that in, that person a couple weeks ago that you wrote their name, just write it down again. I want to be a tree. I want to help Jim or Joe or Bob or Sue or Ann or whoever. I want to help them see Jesus. On the road to the cross, Jesus stopped because there was a man seeking him. And he entered a relationship with that man. His name was Zacchaeus. There's a whole lot of folks that Jesus wants to start that relationship with today. Maybe it's you. Then I invite you, while we sing, just go to him in prayer. Maybe you want to come forward and kneel at this altar. I'd love to pray with you. Start that relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you're here as a Christian. I want to invite you to take that time and say, God, I want to be a tree. I want to help others see you. Maybe you want to come to this altar and pray for that person you've written down. That person on your heart. That person that you'd love to see sitting beside you in the next few weeks in church. That person you'd love to see enter a relationship with Jesus by themselves. What does God want from you today? Does he want a relationship? Or does he want you to be a tree? The choice is yours. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. God, I pray for every person here. Lord, you know what you want to do in their lives. You know each one. You know their name. God, I pray that as you speak to their hearts, as you speak to their lives, that each one of them will say yes and let you do whatever. Lord, I pray for the relationships and I pray for the trees. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.